what's up, Active Church? Welcome to Church Online. We're so excited to be having church with you guys in your living room or wherever you might be online. And yes, we are still coming to you because we know that this coronavirus is a real thing. We want to be wise. We want to be good neighbors. And so we're continuing to follow the CDC's suggestions, the World Health Organization. We're trying to remain, doing our part by not gathering together as a church, but we will gather and continue to gather online. So make sure you stay up to date by following us on Instagram and social media, on Facebook. You can also go on our website and click on the COVID-19 updates. It's right there on the homepage at myactivechurch.org. But we're having church today. You guys ready for church? All right. Got some of our team here this morning, so we're excited. We're going to jump right in. But I want to let you know that we're continuing our series today, Mastermind. We're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about the way we think determines the way we live. Change your thoughts, change your life. And for some of us right now, this message could not be more perfect for us, because we are in a season where our thoughts probably are running wild of what if and what could happen next. And I just want to assure you that we are praying. We are believing God is in control, that he is the God over every single thing that's happening in our world, and he is not far off, and he's with you right where you're at this morning. So we're going to go ahead and jump into the Word of God, and then we'll go ahead and pray as we get into part four of our series, Mastermind. The Apostle Paul wrote extensively about the way we think, and I love what he says in Philippians 4, 6 through 9. If you have a Bible, You need to underline, highlight. You need this scripture on your mirror. So your homework this week is maybe get a 3x5 index card. Write this verse down. Put it in your pocket and read it over and over and over. Talk about it at Life Group this week. I just believe that God is going to speak to us through this verse. And I got a couple ideas I want to share with you this morning out of Philippians 4, 6 and 9. Here's what it says. The Apostle Paul, almost 2,000 years ago, shares this truth. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. In other words, hey, you can worry about it, or you could talk to God about it. I think choosing to talk to God about it is a better option. Verse 7, watch this. And the peace of God, everyone say peace. The peace of God, which transcends, surpasses, which completely revolutionizes your reality, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Isn't that good? Verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And watch this. When you put it into practice, and the God of peace, everyone say peace, the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father God, we need peace now more than ever. God, we ask that you would meet us here this morning, today, on March 29th, that we would be leaning into your word, Lord. And I believe that whatever we lean into leans into us. So God, would you fill our hearts and our minds with scripture, with your presence, Lord, right where we're sitting, God, with our families, with our friends, would you speak to us now? Give us, Lord, just the peace that surpasses understanding. We ask all this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Thank you, Richard. I've been known to ask my wife, I have runaway thoughts sometimes. Anyone ever struggle with that? You're like, your thoughts are kind of like, you start having all these thoughts, like, what about this and what about that? I can like be either on or off sometimes. Sometimes I'm just super chill, but other times I'm like, I get a little irrational sometimes with the way I'm thinking. And if my wife is in a good place, she'll calm me down. And sometimes she's the one with irrational worries or thoughts. But I just noticed it's events like what we're seeing right now in our world. Events can actually trigger fear, right? Like there's legitimate things that can trigger something in our minds, and we'll respond with runaway thoughts, and all of a sudden we're at Target buying up 14 packs of toilet paper, right? We've seen this happen. This is not so distant past. How many of you did that, by the way? You can raise your hand right where you're sitting in your living room. How many of you guys bought some extra toilet paper because everyone else was buying it, and now, you know, the shelves are back stocked with toilet paper. We all have enough for a few months. But we're at church online today, and we're talking about our thoughts. And I want to tell you a story real quick. When I was about irrational fears, how many of you guys know about the boogeyman? Okay. It's not just a movie from the late 90s. The boogeyman in my day, I grew up in the mean streets of Southwest Bakersfield in a cul-de-sac in the Oaks. And that's the neighborhood I grew up in. Actually, it wasn't the mean streets. I grew up in a lovely neighborhood. We had a swimming pool in the backyard. It was awesome. I loved my childhood. We had a huge, huge cul-de-sac with all these kids would come and play. We'd play street hockey. But when I was about 6 or 7, maybe even younger, maybe 3 or 4, I can't quite remember, my neighbors, Mark and Sean, you know who you are if you're watching online. Mark and Sean, they told me that the boogeyman lived near our street. Like the boogeyman lived nearby. And I was like, no, he doesn't. And they told me that the boogeyman drove a big black truck. And one day I'm playing outside. I'll never forget it. I'm playing outside and I'm just like, I think I'm throwing a tennis ball against my garage, which my dad loved. By the way, no, he didn't. My dad would always say, there's stains all over my garage. And I was throwing this tennis ball, I'll never forget. And Sean and Mark were at their house across the street, and they yelled, boogeyman! And I look up, and I see a big black truck driving down my street. And I ran inside. I screamed. I ran inside. I held on to my mom. Boom, the boogeyman's coming to get me. She said, what are you talking about? I said, the boogeyman's coming to get me. She says, that's a UPS truck. Legit. And for years, I swear to you, even to this day, when I see a UPS truck, I still think that might be the boogeyman. Maybe I don't think that, but I for a while there, my heart would race every time I saw the UPS truck, and now I know UPS truck drivers, they're not the boogeyman, but here's the reality. There's something in our brains that gets us worried, and when we literally, physiologically, in our brain, that gets us worried, and all of a sudden, whether it's our grades, whether it's college, what college I'm going to get into, or pay for college for my kids, or whether it's finding the right job or finding the right spouse, maybe it's starting a family, whatever it is that worries us, maybe it's your kids are hanging out with the wrong crowd at school, you're worried they're gonna do drugs, you're worried that they're gonna have, something's gonna happen to them, whatever it is that you're worried about right now in the world, which is a lot of us are worried, what happens is the mind will begin to go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. That wherever your strongest thoughts are, the mind has a neural pathway that it finds those thoughts again. So if you're thinking good thoughts, keep thinking them. But if you're thinking negative thoughts, your mind has a way of finding the path of least resistance. And here's what happens. Anytime you're afraid or you're anxious or you're worried, what happens is it compounds. And what ends up happening is this. When you feel danger, there's this thing in your brain. It's an almond-shaped size portion of your mind called the amygdala. The amygdala. The amygdala part of the brain is wired for survival. It's like the part of your brain that wants to go hunt and kill something and eat it for your family. Like, you're like ready to go. Like that part of your brain, it shuts off all the other cognitive processes and you have this strong sense of adrenaline. Like you see a snake, you better run, right? Unless you like snakes, which I don't like snakes, okay? Don't like snakes. If you see someone texting and driving and they're swerving into your lane, you back off, right? If you see an intruder or you have an intruder that's trying to come into your house or you hear something out front, how many of you guys know you got the baseball bat ready, you got the gun, the shotgun, like you're ready to go. You're not thinking, but you're just going, I got to kick in, my amygdala kicks in and suddenly I'm ready to go for it. Now, the amygdala is not objective. It's just hardwired to protect you. It has there's no objective thoughts. It's just go time when the amygdala kicks in. But without the prefrontal cortex, I'm going somewhere with this, hang on. Without the prefrontal cortex, the amygdala responds according to a pre-program that you really don't have much control over. The prefrontal cortex goes, okay, what's that noise? It's probably an intruder. And then you go, oh, wait, no, it's just that dog that's been getting out, my neighbor's dog. That's your prefrontal cortex bringing logic back into the situation. Now, without that, your amygdala just goes crazy. Now, Jesus didn't say, let your hearts be troubled. He said, do not let your hearts be troubled, right? Jesus, the angel didn't say, hey, glory to God in the highest, stress and anxiety all over the earth. No, he didn't say that. And Paul didn't say, be anxious about everything. He said, be anxious for nothing. Do not be anxious about anything, Paul says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul said. Now, you have an opportunity every time you're worried. You can either pray first or you could pray last. Let me tell you something. As a church, we pray first, okay? When you're going through situations, we don't go, prayer's our last resort. We run to prayer. When you wire your brain to talk to God every day, you start talking to God. Even when you're worried, you say, God, and here, let me tell you something. A lot of people tell you, like, you ever talk to the over-spiritual? Maybe you're watching online and you're over-spiritual and you're judging my sermon. Okay, whatever. I'm going to talk to the over-spiritual people, and I'm actually going to talk to the people that are not over-spiritual. What I mean by this is you are a real human being. You have emotions. Emotions are not bad. I used to tell people, like, we'd be at church and I'd say, oh, so-and-so is sick. And they'd say, no, he's not, brother. He's healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm like, no, he's sick. Like, he's really sick. He's in the hospital. Don't say that. They say the spiritual people say, don't say that. When you have emotions, it's okay to say, this is my emotion. This is a real emotion. Do not suppress your emotions. If you talk to anybody that deals with the brain and suppressed emotions and traumatic events, they'll tell you that those parts of your brain, those emotions, those traumatic events can actually get stuck in parts in one hemisphere of your brain. And if you don't process it and talk about it, it will come out in some weird ways. So next time you feel the urge and you're afraid and you're thinking about, okay, I'm feeling fear, I'm feeling anxiety, I'm feeling worry, do not suppress it and go, don't feel that. That's not godly. Don't feel that. Because what will happen is your brain will actually begin to form a neural pathway to suppress things into a part of your brain that you will not be able to process. So here's what you do. You want to know what you do? Don't suppress, surrender it. What? But that's not what the brother at the church says. The brother says, too blessed to be stressed. No, no, no. That guy's lying. Too blessed to be stressed, brother. Like have faith, not fear. Yes, we have faith, not fear, but we don't ignore our emotions. We don't say, I don't have that emotion. No, we say, I'm feeling anxious. So God, instead of suppressing it, I'm surrendering it. God, I'm feeling worried today. I feel like I'm worried about this. I feel like I'm worried about that. I feel like I can't do this. I feel like I'm not this. But your word says otherwise. So today, God, I'm surrendering my thoughts to you. That's why 1 Peter says, like I said last week, cast all of your anxiety upon me. Because he cares for you. Why would I do that? Because when I suppress it, God can't heal it. When I surrender it, God can take it away. And that's where the power is. And I want to tell some of you guys this morning, prayer is powerful. That if you need peace today, why not try prayer? You've tried everything else. You've tried pills. You've tried substances, alcohol, sex, pornography, busyness, money, work. Why? We are so preoccupied with trying to get peace from things that have no long-term solutions. And they might give you peace for a minute, and now that drink might suppress some things for a couple days or a couple hours, but guess what? When you wake up the next day and your head's pounding and you had too many glasses of wine, because Christians like to drink wine and go, well, it's just one or two bottles. It's no big deal. Jesus made water to wine. Yeah, but if you're drinking like five glasses, you're getting drunk, sir. And if you're not getting drunk from five glasses, you need to drink less. Okay. But what we don't realize is that we're trying to get peace, but we're going to all the wrong places. Not only does prayer move the heart of God, but prayer changes the chemistry in your brain. There's a few decades ago, there was a neurologist that believed that they all kind of agreed that the brain didn't change from adolescence. It kind of just stayed the same. And what we know now about is a word called neuroplasticity. And what it means is that the brain is continually changing over and over, that your thoughts change the brain. There's actually a study called neurotheology, neuro meaning your brain, theology meaning the study of God. And what we see is that this neuro-spiritual science, or neuroscience of spiritual things, there's a study between the brain and belief in God. What am I saying? Well, let me explain it. Prayer actually changes the brain, the way that your brain works. Did you know that? Talking to God actually shows up on a brain mapping. Like, the more you talk to God, you can actually see differences in your neural pathways. It's been found that 12 minutes a day, this is what the author of Switch Your Brain On, Dr. Carolyn Leaf, which I got a chance to meet her a couple years ago. She's an amazing neuroscientist and author and a Christian. She wrote this: it's been found that 12 minutes of daily focused prayer over an 8-week period can change the brain to such an extent that it can be measured on a brain scan. And here we are trying to worry about all our problems by ourselves, and God's like, I'm right here. Let me ask you this: how much time have you spent this week in prayer? Not complaining to God, because we do that, like, God, we're driving, this is not good, help me out. That's kind of prayer, but how much time have you spent talking with God? That means a dialogue. I don't want you to just feel like, oh, you're stressed out, you need to pray more. That's not what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. If you pray, if you talk to God, if you start believing that God wants to hear your worries and your fears and your anxiety, if you start surrendering those to God in a dialogue way, just for 10, 15 minutes a day, right when you start your day, your brain will begin to rewire, and maybe, just maybe, the anxiety and fear that you're feeling will begin to dissipate so that you can be more effective for the people in your life. So, why do we worry? Why do we panic? There's many reasons. We call it an amygdala hijacking. Paul would say that the mind is being dominated by sinful thinking. So what is worry? Worry is the sin of distrusting the promises of God. It's distrusting the power of God as well. Instead of letting my sinful nature control my mind, I need to choose to let the Spirit direct my thinking this week. Here's what Romans 8, 5 through 6 says. Check out the Word of God. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. You ever notice that? Sin begets sin in your life. Like, if you start doing the, like, it's like, have you guys ever tried to stay on a good diet, like eating clean, healthy? I was doing good. I was doing real good until about a couple weeks ago. I was like, coronavirus, forget it. And I was just like eating whatever. I'm like, give me Doritos. I started finding myself going to comfort food. But have you ever noticed when you start slipping or sliding down that road, you kind of make another bad decision? It's like the way that your brain thinks, whatever you're focused on, the sinful things, it's almost as if Paul is right saying, you know what? When you're dominated by sinful nature, you'll think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit, say Spirit, the Holy Spirit, think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How do we do this? We take every thought captive. The prefrontal cortex grabs the amygdala by the tail and says, you know what? We're going to give this to God instead. If you're going from worry to worry to worry, fear to fear to fear, you need to stop and you take all those thoughts captive before God and say, God, I've been thinking about all this stuff. I give it to you. It's not irresponsibility or denial either. I know a lot of people say, well, you know, Christianity is a spiritual crutch. No, it's not. This is actually the way that your brain's wired. You're wired to be connected to God through prayer. That prayer is a conversation, two-way conversation. So you talk and you listen. A lot of us like to talk to God. We don't like to listen to God. You ever notice that? We can talk to God in the morning, but then we're like, all right, God, in Jesus' name, amen. But God's like, no, I wanted to say something to you. So here's what we do. I do what I can do. I give God what I can't do, and I trust God no matter what. I do what I can do, so if there's something you can do about it, like if your job is situation's looking bad, be a better employee. Show up earlier. Volunteer for those extra things that you could do around the office, around the job site, whatever it is. But make sure you're doing your part. Give God what I can't do. Say, God, I can't control the earth. I can't control coronavirus. I can't control what's happening, but I can trust God no matter what. Surrender it to God, but don't suppress it, man. If your life is moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts, let me ask you this question. Be honest, maybe with your life group. Do you like the direction your thoughts are taking you today? Like, if your thoughts are leading your life, do you like the direction that your thoughts are taking you? You know, I didn't. About almost a year and a half ago now, when we first launched the church, my thoughts, I would wake up with a racing heart. I didn't tell anyone this, but I told my wife and I went to the doctor. For about 2 months, I woke up in night sweats almost every night. I was not good. I was I was scared. I didn't know what was going on. I went to the doctor. He said, everything's fine. But what I realized is although I was talking to God about my problems and I was opening up to God, there was parts of my brain, parts of my life that I guess I just was not fully surrendered to God. I was holding things back from God. I was trying to do too much, and I found myself in a place where I needed to talk to someone about my thoughts. I got a therapist. You know, it's funny, if your arm was broken today, and I've said this before, but if your arm was broken, you wouldn't go to the doctor and be like, I'm fine, everything's fine. You would say, doctor, my arm's broken. If your heart was messed up and you needed heart medication, you would go to a cardiologist. If your brain was messed up and you need surgery, you'd go see a brain surgeon. But why is it that if our thoughts are not the right way, if our brain isn't firing the right way, we don't want to see a therapist that could actually help us with the thing that we're needing? Some of us, I believe, need to speak with a therapist. I know my pastor does. I know lots of pastors that do. They get marriage counseling because here's why. You need someone that you can talk to about things that knows how to help you heal from the situations that you've been through, because we all have stuff that we sometimes don't know how to handle. And I know that God is God and He is big, but I'm telling you, sometimes we need to find people that we can talk to. And guess what? Ever since then, I promise you, I know God's healed me, but He used a therapist to give me peace, and I have not had a single problem. My heart rate is back down to normal. It's like 62 beats per minute when I'm resting. God's healed me, and I know it's because I had anxiety that I wasn't dealing with, and God, I gave it to God, and He used a medical professional to help me. Praise God. So here's what I do. Here's what you need to do. Identify truth in your life. Write it down. Think about it. Confess it until you believe it. I know some of us here today have been declaring the wrong things over our life. I want to encourage you. You're not a hostage to your unhealthy thoughts. The weapons you fight with are not weapons of the world. You have divine power to demolish strongholds in your life. You do. But until you believe that God is God and that he wants you to bring those thoughts to him, you'll always feel like you're holding it back. You know, one of the things that I love when I bring my kids home from school or when I see them come in from school, I see my kids. You know what they do? The first thing they do, they open the fridge. They walk right into our kitchen and they open a fridge. They open the fridge and Brixton will grab a cheese stick. Hadley will grab like a little, you know, like a juice or something. They'll go and they'll start playing. They'll go in the backyard. They'll come back in. They'll grab some chips. They'll grab like, you know, some crackers or whatever, some Cheez-Its, some whatever it is. And then they run out. And you want to know what? I love that. Here's why. Because I'm their dad. And everything that I have is theirs. Everything that I have access to, they have access to. I love that my kids don't come into my house and go, "Hello, sir. School was great today, sir, but I'm just wondering, may I and my sister please have a cheese stick and some salami?" They don't do that. I would be so bummed. I'd be like, first of all, yes. Second of all, stop being silly and just have whatever you want. Everything I have is yours. Everything that I have. So if I have a heavenly Father that is full of goodness and love and he's full of all peace, wouldn't it make sense that our God would want us to come to him and say, "God, I need your peace. I need your love. I need what you have right now, because right now I have worry and I don't have peace." And wouldn't it make sense that the God of the universe, who looks at you and I as a daughter, he says, "You're my daughter, you're my son." Wouldn't it make sense for us to not be like, "Oh God, I beseecheth upon you to give thine, if it be your will, peace in this situation. If thine be your will, I asketh of you, Father, if most holieth God. If you see it to be fitting, give me." No, like, just go, "God, I need peace right now. Lord, I need your peace. I need your presence in my life." You don't have to be all weird and spiritual and go and pray this weird prayer. You just go, "God, this morning I'm feeling very anxious and I can't control it. So God, I confess it. I surrender it. It's not of you. I give you my life. I ask, Lord, that you would help me fix my focus on you. I take every thought captive right now, God, before the throne of grace, and I give you my thoughts. They're your thoughts, not my thoughts. I want to focus on things that are good today, not things that are bad." I've heard it said, you got two dogs in your mind. They're fighting each other. One is good, one is bad. The one that will win is the one that you feed. Which dog are you feeding? Are you feeding the flesh, which is trying to take you out and give you every single disease and every single worry and every single fear and every single thing that's going to try to pull you down? Or are you feeding your spirit? Are you feeding the Spirit of God that wants to give you victory, that wants to give you peace, that wants to give you triumphant victory over every single situation in your life? And it's going to start in your mind. That's the dog that we feed. That's the one that we feed. And that's the one that will have the victory, because you can't control what happens to you, but you can control what you do with it. This week, as we go into life groups, I want you to, with your group, I want all of us to pray with each other this week. And I want us to be honest this week as we go to prayer. So when someone says, "How can I pray for you?" Don't say, "Just pray for my schedule. You know, I'm real busy." Because, you know, you love that prayer. You're like, "Really? That's like your biggest prayer?" "Yeah, I'm super busy." I'm like, I got much more than that. I'm in a life group. I'm real. I take off the mask, and I want you to as well. This week, why not just say, "Hey, I'm in struggling. I'm a little depressed. I'm a little worried. I'm going through a lot with my spouse. I'm going through a lot financially. You know, I just found out my, you know," whatever it is, just be real and share with your people what's going on, what's really happening, and then cover everything you do in prayer. Not going to be anxious this week. I might feel anxious, but I'm not going to stay anxious. Because in everything, in prayer and petition, I'm going to present my request to God this week. the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. My hope and my prayer for us, church, is that in this season that is kind of uncertain for where our country and our world is going, there's a lot of uncertainty. I'm certain of this. God's on your side. You might be feeling worry and fear, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, is yours if you ask for it. So let's go to the Lord in prayer today, and let's believe that God is going to meet us where we're at. Let's pray. Father God, as we celebrate all that you've done, God, we cling to the hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Lord, we have this amygdala, this part of our brain that wants to hijack everything and pull us into thinking everything is the boogeyman. And we start getting fearful, and we feel like we're being taken over by these worried thoughts and anxious thoughts. But Lord, we know that God, your spirit lives in us, and we have the power to take every thought captive, that we can present our request to you, Lord, and the peace that surpasses understanding that will cover our hearts and our minds. So today, God, would you just cover us? Remind us of who you are. Remind us that we are your kids, that we have access directly through you because of Jesus. Now, as you're sitting there and as you, with your eyes closed, I want you to think about someone that might need peace, that might need prayer today. Maybe they need a text message. The Bible says that he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Maybe today the whole reason you logged in was so that you could be thinking about someone, praying for someone that needs peace. Maybe there's someone in your life that you're thinking about right now that you're going to send a text message to, an encouraging verse. Because as you pour out to other people, the Bible says your life will be poured into. That God doesn't want to pour more into you until you become a stream of living water. That means you have to flow with God's Spirit. As you pour out, he'll pour more in. Some of the people that I know that are the most joy-filled aren't that way because they have the best life and everything's going perfect. It's because when things get hard, they continue to pour out into other people. God wants to use you to make a difference. And so this week, God, I pray that you would help us to make a difference in lives of other people, that we would not back down from relationship, that we would not back away from people and try to just hunker down and care about us for no more, that we would begin to be the hands and feet of Jesus, that we'd pour out into people, that we'd reach out, that we'd encourage, that we'd be the voice of truth when things are going kind of in a whirlwind around us, and Lord, that you would use us in a mighty way.